nailed at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 63 of Three in the Box, your Fighting in the Stands Minnesota Wild Hockey Podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, March 1st, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about Dubs, Wild trades, and playoffs. Playoffs?
Almost.
In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Yep.
How was your week there, boys?
Festive.
Good.
Festive?
Festive.
You had a wedding?
I had a wedding, yeah. My baby sister got married.
Yeah. Baby's mama's baby's mama?
Not my baby's mama.
Somebody else's baby's mama.
No, she was somebody's baby's mama.
How many baby's mamas do you have?
I have zero baby's mamas.
That you know of.
At least they're not admitting it.
I don't know if you'd want to either.
Exactly.
Poor kid. He's going to get beat up a lot.
Maybe. I'll just teach him how to use a mic stand.
He'll be a dumpster baby.
Ooh. Oh. Wow, this derailed really fast this week.
I did see an article this week about, I think it was Indiana, and they're trying to pass this law or something to create these safe boxes, basically, that
yes. If I think I know where this is going, can't believe it.
Well, from the outside, they just look like a regular old box, but I guess inside it's like an incubator, and, it's so... People have a place. They don't have to.
It's like a library book drop,
kind of. But it's okay if you just bring bring your baby to like a fire station or whatever. They'll just
is this like
take it
like
off your hands or
like
whatever.
Old school Three Stooges esque where they're just dropped off at the orphanage like in a basket and like somebody knocks on the door and runs away. Right. Ding dong ditch. Oh, surprise.
Pretty much, but hey, it's better than disposing of the kid in other forms. I mean,
wow, is this seriously what we've come down to?
Hey,
this is no wonder people hate America.
No wonder people hate this podcast.
Hey, well, that too.
How are we talking about the Wild?
Yeah, let's do that.
That's people in the Wild, man.
Oh Lord.
So
this is quite the unexpected week. It started out with the fizzle as the Wild lost on Tuesday to the lowly Oilers at home. Then it turned around two dominating wins on the road in Nashville and Colorado. Obviously, you can't win every game, so even though we lost against the Oilers, that was a little disappointing. They won against important games against Nashville and Colorado. That being said, they manhandled the Predators, and they frankly looked like the playoff-bound team of the two. With that, should the Wild be happy for a potential first-round matchup against the Predators? And if not, which team do you think would be an ideal matchup?
I'm going to go with yes.
They should be a...
I would say right now the best hopes would be against the Predators.
Can you imagine just all the fans in Nashville blowing their collective lid? Seeing Suter beat them in the playoffs.
Well, they would have multiple games in Nashville with Suter playing. Do you think they can boo long enough for that?
Dubs is just going to be, reveling because they're like, the crowd loves me.
Here's how I look at it. With the top three teams right now, presuming that the Wild stay in that last wild card spot, the three teams in contention that they'd be playing against would be Nashville, Chicago, or St. Louis.
Right.
Chicago, we know how, I'm sorry, or Anaheim. Anaheim was in that mix because they could potentially be there on the West.
Right.
Anaheim's always killed the Wild in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. I don't want to see Anaheim first round. Chicago, I mean, we've held our own, but we've always been beat. And right now, I mean, again, Chicago, we're 1-3 on the season. I think we have one more game.
Yeah.
You do got to know, though, that Chicago did suffer a pretty big loss over the last week here.
With they did.
Kane going out, so.
How long is
now,
he out
now
for?
We just have to get rid of, who is it, Hossa? He's the wild
Hossa, how about?
Hossa is the one, yeah.
We'll just get
Hossa,
rid of him.
Hossa and Bickle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Bickle. The only team he can score against is the Wild, but he does it quite well. Yeah. You know, St. Louis, we've only played him once this season. It was an OT loss. We do have three more games against them, two in St. Louis and one here.
But we, and in the past couple of years, it does seem like we've kind of struggled against them. They play us really tough. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Real tough.
Anaheim, we're 0-2 against Anaheim this season.
That goes back to you know, we always...
We cannot play Anaheim.
It's like the ghost of Saku lives on or something.
Because wasn't it Anaheim that in the beginning, very beginning of the season, killed our run? We were on there, too, if I'm remembering.
I think you're
back,
right.
That first Western sweep that we did out there.
Yes, it was, because we went from Anaheim, and that's when all the mumps started happening.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
You know,
they infected us.
Then we look at Nashville. We played three games against Nashville. We're actually .500 against them right now. We're 1-1-1.
Oh,
yeah. We do have two more games coming up against the Predators before the end of the season. But, I mean, with the way that we played them this past week, I would say that the Predators are our best chance to advance to the second round if we have to play one of these teams first round.
Right.
Well, and that said, I mean, I heard in a interview earlier this week, Suter talking about his old team actually, and they asked him, well, what's changed around here that's, you know, bringing them to the top of the league, and he said, well, they've figured out how to put the pucks in the net. So, but they obviously,
they've always had Rene, and Rene is basically a rock star.
Yeah.
But the Wild got to him.
You noticed that this in the second period,
he was frustrated. He was visibly frustrated, and you don't see Rene. I mean, as a Wild fan, I don't know that I've seen him like that.
Oh, he was definitely shaken.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so I think if they can get under their skin, I think Nashville's going to be their best option if playoffs were to start today in the current situation. I would say, yeah, Nashville's probably going to be their best option to move on to the second round.
I don't know. I guess from my point of view, I think that the Wild do, though, a lot of times the Blackhawks do get the better of us, but I think that we would still match up pretty well against the Blackhawks as is right now. They're not exactly the same team they were in years past.
And we're not the same team either.
And we aren't either. So I think that we would actually stand a pretty good chance against the Blackhawks.
We do have one more game against them. Actually, the last three games of the season are on the road against the Blackhawks, the Predators, and the Blues.
Easy beans.
So potentially we could be having a very early playoff, like a
pre-playoff preview.
Yeah, it's like it's pre-playoff season.
Yep. Well, that said, what's bringing us into this playoff talk is Dubnyk. I mean, he was named the first star of the month for February
in the NHL.
In the NHL, right? And I mean, he seems to be the saving grace for the Wild season here. I mean, you know, just a little over a month ago, everybody was wondering, you know, looking to the next year, what do we have to do to make this team competitive next year?
Who do we trade? You know,
right.
Is Yo's job safe?
Yeah.
I don't think Yo's going anywhere.
Right. Well, certainly not now. I mean, I didn't think he was going anywhere back then, but I think right now his job is very safe.
Yeah, right now, Dubnyk, he's making everyone from the front office to the ice look brilliant, basically.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, he started the last 20 games. This hasn't been done 20 games in a row since
Backstrom was the only other goalie to start.
And he just tied him.
Yeah.
So, assuming he starts on Tuesday,
which I'm pretty sure will be the case,
he'll set the record for the Wild.
Yeah. So,
and
he's done that with a 1.64 goals against average. Man. I mean, that's
five shutouts.
Yeah, that's a workhorse right there, you know.
So. He was also the first and only Wild player to make first NHL Star of the Month.
Right.
And only the second Wild player to even make a Star of the Month. Previously, it was Josh Harding, and he was the third Star of the Month back in 2013 or 2014.
He had that really good month in the before MS kind of knocked him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that, I mean, he started the 20 games in a row here. We all certainly believe it'll be 21 games in a row. Coming up here, though, in March, they've got four sets of back-to-back games coming up in March. I mean, at some point there, do you think that they're going to have to give them some rest? I mean, when will Kemper or Backstrom, when do you think they'll see a start?
Well, looking at these back-to-backs, I mean, the first one is you got Capitals and then Hurricanes both on the road. You have the Ducks here and then St. Louis on the road. Then you get two home games. I'm sorry.
Another two.
No, two road games against the Maple Leafs and the Islanders. And then two home games with the Flames and Kings. I mean, the lightest of those sets, I don't know if any of them actually are.
Maybe the Maple Leafs and the Islanders. But the Islanders, right. I think, are in a playoff spot right now.
And possibly Flames and Kings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Islanders are fighting for number one spot right now in the East.
And, well, and the Flames are on the cusp and Kings are on the cusp, so it's like...
You know, and then let's see, the Ducks and the Blues, yeah. Both teams fighting for top spot in the West at that point.
The good thing here is that Dubnyk was serving as a backup in his previous position, so...
So he doesn't have a lot of time on him this year.
He's fairly, I'll put air quotes around this, well-rested, though he's been, you know, playing out of his mind lately. I mean, this guy...
We've actually got five back-to-backs left.
Holy
five God. Of them left?
Five left. Four in March.
Four in March.
Right. Yeah. Fifth one in April.
Oh, yeah, the Jets here and then the Wild in Chicago. Great. Well, I mean, our schedule, looking at the rest of it, just is not... It's not pretty.
Well, with the back-to-backs they have against the teams that are in those back-to-backs, you have to figure... He's going to get a day off. I mean,
you would think, but I don't know. I'm thinking as long as he's healthy, I don't see them holding back on putting him in on these back-to-backs. There's too much that's riding on the line here. You know, every point this time of the year counts.
Right.
And basically, when you've got a goalie who's in the zone like Dubnyk, you were showing me the wave save, you know, we were checking that one out before the podcast here. I mean, things like that, that's a goalie who is in the zone. And you'd hate to even take him out of that zone by, you know, giving him time to cool off.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, obviously the Wild have not beat the Ducks yet this season, and that was pre-Dubnyk.
Right.
So we know that our goalies cannot play against Anaheim.
And he actually has a pretty good record against Anaheim.
So I can see him starting that one, but then you're on the road against St. Louis, which, I mean...
And St. Louis is actually one of the teams he's done the worst against
In his career. So maybe Backstrom or Kemper against St. Louis?
Only one team does he have a lower save percentage against, and that's the Maple Leafs. So St. Louis is a tough one for him. It would make sense if you're going to... bench him at, or you know, sit him for a game and let him get a rest in there. My money's going to be on that the second Blues game second Blues game on March 14th is his next chance to sit.
Yeah,
that's going to be. I mean, maybe Yo will surprise us and start Backstrom against the Canes, but
his percentage against the Canes versus Backstrom isn't nearly as good. Now, that could also be dependent on who he had in front of him at the time, too. I mean, you know, with Arizona, if he didn't have proper D in front of him, what have you.
But if you compare his performance against his other performance against other teams, against the Canes, it's actually one of the lower teams he's fared worse against. So,
sure.
You know, I guess it's possible, but didn't he just beat the Canes? Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was here.
Yeah, it was here.
Oh yeah, 6-3. He let in three goals though.
Right.
I mean, the Wild got six.
So, I mean, if you're going to make an argument, you know, maybe you make an argument there that, you know, hey, Dubes, you've been doing great. You haven't had the greatest track record against them. But the thing is you don't have much to stand on because, you know, he's like, he can just go, well, we beat them. Yeah. Do you want to win or do you care about, you know, how many goals are given up?
I don't know. And like I say, you don't want to take a guy. If you do sit him a game like that, let him sit on the bench, let him get cold. You don't know what that's going to do.
Right.
You know, the thing is, I mean, it's back-to-back. It'd be March 5th versus the Capitals and then March 8th versus the Avs at home. So it's not like you have that many days off for him to completely get cold. You know, same thing with the Ducks and Blues. After the Blues, that one's a little bit more. There's 3 days before they play the Preds again. And then you got the Maple Leafs Islanders, which is one set of back-to-back with a three-day off, followed up by another set of back-to-back. So,
you got to figure there's going to be a day off in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think Yo's probably going to play his numbers.
I think so too.
At that point, with the back to backs on who's played best against those teams,
and it could be that he goes with Backstrom versus the Canes. I think if he's smart, though, he waits till the Blues.
But. And then I mean, if they're still traveling with the three goalies set up, I think Dubnyk will definitely be in as backup. If he's not starting, he's going to be in there as backup, and then it'll be either Kemper or Backstrom scratched.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know if, are we actually going to see Kemper again this year?
Well,
Kemper, or are we going to see Backstrom?
Well, are we going to see Kemper? I mean, well, let's assume we're going to see Backstrom, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's been the one sitting on the bench. I mean.
Yeah.
Has Kemper been down in Iowa?
No, because he had to clear waivers, and we're not going to try to send him through waivers because...
We're going to lose him.
So, I mean, and what does that do to Kemper's development? I mean, if he's just...
Kemper's got to be cold right now, real cold right now.
Ice cold, you know?
Yeah.
He's colder than the nice alcoholic beverages we're drinking right now.
Straight out of the state of Minnesota.
The loon juice.
We're drinking some loon juice up in here during said podcast. So, but, well, I think, with that, talking about Dubes, going back to the Dube talk, after a week like this, it's tough to say any one game was the game of the week. But, last night's tilt against the Avalanche was certainly the most electric. Throughout the game, you'd hear, "Let's go Wild," and Dubes when Dubnyk made a big save.
On the road.
And this was a road game,
It's good to see we got a good presence down there.
You know, it was so bad there was even a brawl between Avs and Wild fans in the stands.
Wasn't there a GMP song, something about Minnesota people needing to get to Colorado?
Or maybe that's changed now. and I know that the Wild, from time to time have had large numbers of invaders at the X, representing their respective teams. But I can't recall ever a time where it was as bad as it was last night at the Pepsi Center. Do you think the Wild will have to worry about this at all come a week from tonight when the Avalanche are in Minnesota? Are we going to hear Varlamov?
No.
Varlamov.
I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
I highly doubt it.
But I do think that there's probably a lot of Minnesota transplants down there that,
wanted to get to a warmer climate.
Want
to
get high.
Right.
Just, so high.
So all the Minnesota potheads went down there. See?
Well, maybe as
so there shouldn't have been any fights then, right?
Yeah, everybody should have been.
Well, you wouldn't have known it, with... Landeskog reaching over the barrier between the benches and punching Koivu in the face.
They probably just don't like us because we don't have Stoner anymore.
That was bad. Yeah, a lot of goonery going on last night with Waugh sending out McLeod on the last, with 3 seconds left to go and mow over Mikael Granlund.
Yeah, not cool.
And then go after Coyle.
And somehow he's not going to get a,
No, because they didn't call a instigator.
They didn't have the guts to call an instigator, and the league, of course, doesn't,
It has to be the on-ice call of an instigator in the last 5 minutes for it to even be.
It doesn't have to be.
Well, that's what the rule states.
Right. And it's he might get a you know, a fine or whatever for it, but it's still, you know, BS. But I digress. You know, I know it's been an uneven matchup this year with the Wild dominating the Avs.
They've allowed one goal against the Avs all season, and that was a garbage goal.
It was a goal that was stuck last night, stuck under Dubnyk's skate.
It was under his skate.
It was actually called off on the ice.
Right. It wasn't even called off. It wasn't called at all.
And then Toronto,
because they couldn't see it.
Right. And but it was under his skate, and then McLeod goes barreling into him, pushes him into the net, and all of a sudden that's a goal.
And then, Toronto said it was a goal.
Apparently, Toronto is watching curling or something, because apparently things bouncing off of other things counts as points. So,
well, you know, it is. They are Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't know what that...
I'm Canadian, and I love Sagers.
...matters, but...
So, I mean, so given the vitriol of last night's game, do we think that the Avs are now officially the Wild's number one, rival?
You know what? I think so. And I am pretty sure I had mentioned this before, but this is the only team that has come from our previous Northwest division.
Yeah.
So it's a team that we've already seen a lot. It's a team that we've faced in the playoffs prior, before the division alignment, and then even again last year. I totally think that Colorado is going to be our number one rival as of right now.
You know,
Decker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
And you know, it's a two-way rivalry as well, because we hate them and they hate us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it goes both ways and it's pretty great.
I know a lot of people still want to see the Chicago rivalry get reinstated, but
or the Stars rivalry, they want to see that being a rivalry, but
the natural rivalry is going to happen how it does, and I totally foresee that it's Colorado right now, especially with Wah behind the bench. You know, we beat Wah his last game in the playoffs when he was a goalie. We beat Wah his first season as a head coach for, you know, playoffs. I think that that's how it's naturally going to go right now.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So... Jive.
Yeah. Well, that said, the Wild this week, they acquired Sean Bergenheim from the Florida Panthers.
Another Finlander.
Yeah. In one of the many moves in the NHL this week as the trade deadline gets near here. Chuck Fletcher, he continues his wheeling and dealing. And, really, I think a fairly decent deal he got, you know, Bergenheim and a seventh-round pick for one of our third-round picks in 2016, so.
Doesn't seem too bad to me. I mean.
Yeah. I don't think we're giving up a lot there, you know.
Right, right.
You know, so. That said, I mean, what kind of impact do you see? He played his first game with the Wild that was.
The Nashville game.
Nashville game. And then he played again last night. So, I mean, do you guys see him making a big impact so far? What kind of an impact?
You know, I think I've brought up before that I was pretty impressed with when we saw him play when we were against the Panthers, how he just kind of was slippery. And he'd move in front of the net and, you know, granted it's against the Wild D, and our D maybe isn't the greatest at, you know, keeping the front of the net clear.
Yeah.
But he would slide in, and it's a little bit of slipperiness and stealthiness. He kind of goes unnoticed, and you know, he's had plenty of chances over his last couple games. You know, last night he just lit up McKinnon.
Yeah,
I mean,
broke
his nose. Granted, that was with his head. His helmet into
McKinnon's. I've seen reports that said, if, like, the right angle, it was actually McKinnon's own stick that got him in his
face. Could be. I mean, but it was still the hit of Bergenheim that started that. So he's got that physical edge as well.
Right.
He's not a big guy, you know, and I think we kind of needed a bigger guy or need a bigger guy. But
if we got somebody who's willing to be physical... with Cook out here, we need somebody to take up that physical aspect of the game. And Yeah,
but he isn't necessarily one dimensional. I mean, he's had good success. He wasn't having a very good year in Florida this year, but he has had decent success in the past.
Well, his first game against Nashville, I mean, four shots on goal, which at least three of them were very good looks.
Right.
You know, two hits, one block shot. He got two takeaways. He was a minus two. So, I mean, he was on the ice for, you know, the goals. But all in all, I liked his play, and I liked some of the plays that he was making and some of the chances that he created.
Right. Agreed.
And sometimes that plus minus, I mean, that's such a luck of the draw for the most part. I mean, there's something to be said about if you're always on the ice for
goals against. And there's something to be said against, and there's something to be said about plus minus for D.
Right.
Whereas if Ford, you know, it could be
he could have been changing lines at the time, right, and his skate happened to be the one on the ice.
Right.
Well, and I mean, with the trade deadline coming up here, I mean, what do you guys think the Wild's biggest weakness is that maybe still could be addressed?
I think we need D.
We need D and we need size. We need physicality.
We definitely need D, especially I don't know if we know how long Scandella is going to be out. They're talking that he's got a groin issue. He missed a bunch of time last night.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's going to be a long-term thing or not, but who do we call up?
Spurgeon's out right now.
And Spurgeon's out.
I'm happy with how Dumba's been playing.
Dumba's been playing great.
He's been out of his mind, yeah.
But I don't think we really have the depth in Iowa right now.
Right, yeah. So, and I agree. I mean, that would be the one key spot that I think we need. And I think we need to honestly go for a more physical defenseman at this point right now, too. We got plenty of offense, I think, going for us back on the blue line there. I think we definitely need to get a little bit of size going on and somebody who can be physical.
You know, if we don't get anybody, Blum might be.
Yeah, I mean,
Blum or Falk is basically who we have down in Iowa.
That's
right now
who we're going to have to bring up if Scandell isn't ready to skate on Tuesday. That's going to be our options. I mean, that's it.
Bickle,
or Bickle, yeah. None of them are very good options, I don't think. I mean, Blum's good for a couple games. I mean, he hasn't really shown that he can be a full-time player in the NHL level.
Yeah, we're not clamoring for these guys to be up here. You know?
And we know what Falk brings to the table. But, Kenny, so I know when we brought this up previously, you've been adamant that the Wild ought to trade for a goalie. So is the news that Briz is now basically – I mean, he didn't say he's retiring, but he's basically saying he's taking his money and going back to Russia.
He's taking his money and running. the money and run?
Wait, what was it? Taking the money and run with it. I think that's what Roenick said last night.
Oh, yeah, because he totally hacked.
Or two nights ago.
Yeah, Steve Miller Band.
He completely hacked Steve Miller's quote of take the money and run.
Yeah. But he basically said he wants to go spend more time with his family. So are you no longer in the Wild need a goalie camp here?
Right now, with the way Dubnyk is, I mean, Dubnyk still, his contract ends at the end of the year. So they're still in need of a goalie as far as I see it for the upcoming years. Now, if they sign Dubnyk, I will kind of transfer myself out of that camp and just, you know, we need a good solid backup. But I think we'd have our starter at that point. Okay. If that makes sense. I mean, like, we still don't have a definitive goalie for next year that we can rely on. So Fletcher still has to be looking, obviously, with Dubnyk being a top contender. And I see him getting re-signed personally. So
I have to agree with you. I mean, that's a lot of teams. I mean, that's one of the defining points of a team is your goaltender. I mean, one guys that you, like, know of on most every team is that solid guy in the net.
And but I mean, it's usually not your goaltenders.
Right.
You know, you've got a number one and a number two.
Yeah.
Number two is there in case something happens to the number one.
Yeah.
Or if the number one needs a break.
You need to take a little break.
I don't know. The way I see it right now, Dubnyk is looking like a solid number one. So it's for us to kick the can around looking for a number two right now when we can't even play one of the guys we've got seems like a waste of time.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I do think we need we need to wrap up a solid number one for at least the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, no,
and
no,
I'm pretty sure
that.
we had mentioned that last week about, you know, what's his contract going to be. I think once that gets wrapped up, then I will jump out of the goalie camp, or the camp of we need a goalie. You know, and hopefully he can bring us into the playoffs fairly deep. I mean, obviously the way he's been playing now, he's been showing that he can.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
I agree.
So I think we all agree there then, though, that defense is probably our number one need, I guess, at this point.
Oh, easily.
As we head into the final hours of the deadline here. So, I mean, I'm definitely hoping that we can pull something off here to make sure that we get into the playoffs.
Right? I mean, do you think, since we talked about Briz basically hanging up things, you know, Florida's been making a bunch of moves. They picked up Yager.
Yeah.
But they also picked up Mr. Danny Heatley.
Oh.
Yeah.
All-star.
So it's a team of all-stars now.
That team was really good, you know, in 2007.
Right.
I don't know how it's going to fare in 2014, 2015. But
Yager is old.
I think somebody needs to update their copy of EA.
I don't know why he continues. I mean, he's a solid player.
He is, and he's a lot slower than he used to be.
Right.
You know,
that's the thing. And I mean,
but the thing is what is Florida trying to do with these moves? I don't get it. And
it's Florida, it's retirement community. Maybe they're just bringing Yager closer to home.
Right.
Well, I don't know where I saw it, but I thought it was so great was that the fake Danny Heatley account, you mm-hmm. know, not Danny Heatley.
Right.
I think everyone's familiar with that Twitter account. That has more followers than the Florida Panthers official Twitter account. That is brilliant.
Wow. Maybe that's what they were trying to get is, you know, not Danny Heatley getting all his followers to follow them.
Florida Panthers.
So you're saying the acquisition of Danny Heatley was purely a Twitter-based move?
But, well, what else would it be for?
Masters of the Twitterverse.
Apparently Florida, like the rest of the people at the community down there, they like the washed-up, semi-retired, getting ready to retired people.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Florida is doing this with the intention of trying to make it to the playoffs. But, you know, what do you think?
So, yeah, playoffs. Maybe Florida's doing it. But, I mean, right now, well, let's start off with Playoff Watch 2015. I mean, we got about, a quarter of a season left?
A month and change.
Month and change, but about 20 games.
Yeah.
So about quarter of the season. So with the Jets beating the Kings today, the Wild are still in the second wild card spot. They're 3 points ahead of LA and 3 points behind the Jets with 2 games in hand against the Jets. Still 6 points behind the Hawks for a third spot in the Central Division, which, you know, depending on what happens, you know, it's still close enough with 20 games.
And there are rumors that there's some locker room stuff going on in the Blackhawks locker room.
Oh, sure.
So,
well, they haven't been playing too hot lately. They lost, like, what, 3 in a row now, I think?
So, but then again, there's other reports that say, oh, no, we're fine. But that's what they always say, right?
Yeah.
So the Jets only have 2 games this week. LA has 3, and the Wild have 4, at least until we get together again next Monday. Where do you see these 3 teams sitting by the time we get together again? You know, the Jets are playing the Senators and Predators.
I mean, obviously the Wild, they control their own destiny this week. They've got more
absolutely
games than the other team, so they can either make some space or they can lose some space. That said, I mean, there was a disappointing loss there last week to Edmonton, as we discussed earlier.
Right, right.
But there was some very graceful and amazing wins.
I think that's what was going to be my point, is that they They righted that ship real quick. And if you ask me, that's the sign of a team that's, you know, on a roll. Now, we're on a roll here with 20 games left in the season. I mean, it's all about who you play and when you play them. You know, because teams like the Blackhawks, right now would be a great time to be playing them. I mean, they're...
Well, I think we got them one more time this year.
Well, this year. But, I mean, yeah. It'd be nice to have them next week when they're slumping and, you know, hit them while they're down.
Right.
Which I'm sure, you know, several teams said when they came in to play us, you know, a few months ago, you know.
The start of the season
when they're down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all about who you play and when you play them. And, you know, I think that the Wild, you know, need to continue this streak here to keep on that playoff run. But I think what it really matters is what we're doing at the end of the season, you know. In another 10 or 15 games, how our game is going then.
Jive, I think you totally hit the nail on the head, though. I mean, this week especially, it's in the Wild's hands.
Yep.
I mean, they can't count on, you know, winning 2 out of 4 and having, you know, the Jets lose both their games and the Kings losing all their games, which would, you know, if both teams end up winning all their games this week, it's literally, it's on the Wild's.
Yeah, it's time to put some space in between us and them.
Right. I mean, and you know, the Jets, they only have 2 games this week. You know, the Wild have 4. So that's going to even up that games in hand talking point. And then it's going to be, you know, where we're at. You know, even if the Jets split those, that's 5 points that the Wild need to make in 4 games. You know, they can do that going 2-1-1, but they got to win, you know, to even just come up, you know, to a tie, basically. Yeah. So it's, you know, the Jets have a tough one. I mean, they're playing against the Senators and they're the Predators on the road. The Preds on the road, obviously the Wild done it, but they're only the 4th team this year to beat the Predators at home.
Right.
So, and I'm sure the Predators are going to be...
They're not. They can't be happy about that loss.
No. So I don't think the Jets are going to have as easy a time as the Wild, as it appeared the Wild did.
Right.
You know,
I wouldn't call it an easy time. I think they just made, you know.
Well, they made it look effortless. Yeah. So, you know.
And I mean, the Kings' schedule this week isn't exactly easy. I mean, it starts off. I mean, they're in Edmonton,
right.
But the Kings have been on a slump lately too. But then they're at home against the Canadiens and Pittsburgh, which both teams are trying to find that spot in the East.
Yeah, but they are home games, so they've got a little more going for them.
Especially being, you know, 3 hours outside of their time zones.
Right. They're going to be there's going to be a lot of jet lag going on there, you know. I don't know. I think the Wild could come out, but like we've already said, you know, it's in their hands.
Yeah, and there's some tough games this week, and there's, you know, some games that, I mean, you look at and on paper you think that the Wild should definitely win.
It's not always the case,
but yeah, like we saw last week, it's not always the case.
Well, speaking of that, so I mean, we've talked about the Jets and Kings upcoming games. I mean, so the Wild. They have the Senators here. Ottawa is not quite out of a wild card spot yet, and they're on a terror right now. They've won 5 in a row. So, I mean, they're on a hot streak.
They're on a streak.
Then we have back-to-backs on the road against the Capitals and the Hurricanes. The Caps, you know, top wild card spot in the East and only 2 points behind the Penguins for getting that third spot in the division. The Canes... You know, they're a sub-500 team, but, again, they're also on a streak right now. They've won their last 3. And then we have the Avalanche here, and, well, we know what just happened against the Avs, and right. But that could be a very physical game.
Right, and that's one of those games. I mean, the Avs, and maybe even coming off of the last game from last night, those games, when it's physical and emotional like that, they could take a pretty big toll on a team, so you got to be careful on yourself. How you come out of those games,
right?
So Aaron, you kind of hinted at it a little bit, though. But you know, with the Wild and the Jets now being after this week, the Wild and Jets, there will not be that game in hand or two games in hand with Jets anymore. What do you think will be the point differential between the two teams come next week?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's a lot of games, and you know, it could go either way, really. I mean, it could be a point. It could be 2 points. It's going to be hard for the Wild to be above them. Let's put it that way.
It's a tough call. I can't give you an exact number either. It'd be hard to say that. But, I mean, it's going to be a battle, basically, here. I just, for the foreseeable future till the end of the season.
Oh, the Wild schedule is just absolutely horrible. What? I mean, as far as the teams they have to face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were discussing it, and, you know, they've got, you know, maybe 2-3 games left the rest of the year against
teams that are out of playoff contention.
Right. I mean, it's a tough schedule from here on out.
Yeah.
So they're going to need to win all the games that they can if they want to still be in this, you know, come, you know, second week of April.
Well, I'm gonna just flat out say I think the Wild will be up by 1 point after this week is said and done.
Norster Kenny.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
So,
all right. Should we get into the game of the week?
Let's do it. So last week, I got to pick the game of the week because I'm the worst. And and I chose...
Not because you're lucky or, you know...
because of that, yeah. So I chose the Wild at Predators, thinking... This is a nice, good game that's going to be a tough pick for anyone, right? And I was wrong.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I went and picked the Preds thinking, hey, they've only lost 3 home games. How are they going to lose one to the Wild? And they do, obviously. So I was the only one who picked the Preds.
But you still won, right?
I still won.
That's right.
See. I won what counts in the Wild, yep. And that's the Wild getting a W.
There we go.
You know, so Kenny and Jai both picked the Wild. Obviously, they scored more than 5 and 4 points. So they would just get a single point in the current standings. Jive now leads with 12 points.
Woo-hoo!
Kenny has 11.
Yeah.
And I got 7. Since I'm way back right now, I get to choose the game of the week, and I'm going to choose Wild the Capitals, which I believe is the toughest one of the toughest games this week.
Oh,
so.
Man, that is a tough one to pick, too.
Yeah, and it could go either way, right?
You know, it's a road game. It's the first of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild haven't historically done terribly well against the Capitals. And, I'm looking at this. I go, Dubnyk hasn't had the greatest record against the Capitals, prior to Minnesota. He's actually got a pretty low...
Who's that guy on the Capitals? I can't remember his name. He's got a couple goals this year, right?
Ovechkin?
Oh, that's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Does he lead the league in goals now?
He might.
I think so.
So it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go with the Caps. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with Caps in a total of 5 goals between the two teams.
Yeah, are you okay? So 5 goals. Are you thinking it's going to be like 4-1, 3-2?
I think it's going to be a 3-2. I mean,
it's going to be a tight.
I mean, honestly, for these games, it's particularly the Wild games lately. It seems like it has to be a 1 or 2 point game. We've had a few where it's like a blowout, and those come unexpectedly.
Yeah,
it's like you're just safer going 1 or 2 point games.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a logical standpoint, you know, because you go up against the Oilers, you think, oh man, this is gonna be a blowout.
No, it's a 3 point game.
It's a 3 point game, you know. So,
and I'll have to agree with you, Aaron. I think that you know the Caps are probably gonna pull this one out here, as they are the home team. I think it will be close, though. I'm gonna go with 3 total goals. I foresee like a 1-1 game, and a late, you know. Either a really late goal or an overtime, you know.
Well, let's hope we don't have to go into a shootout against the Capitals.
Well, I would take the points.
The points, yeah, but yeah. With some of their skaters, it's going to be a shooting gallery.
Yeah. We'll see.
We will.
Yep.
So, Kenny, who are you going with?
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be a tight game, too. I'm also going with a 3-2 score, but I'm going to go with the Wild. I think, I mean, especially with what they did to Nashville on the road. I think maybe they weren't yelling for Dubes in Colorado. Maybe they were yelling Doobie in Colorado.
Oh man, why
that was that was the cue for everybody to spark up.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Wow, I think you just solved the mystery there.
I may have.
Wow. Just solved the mystery. Quick, guys, back to the mystery machine.
Zoinks! But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Wild winning with 5 points.
All right. Well, I think we've got a good show. If it weren't for you meddling kids. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Aaron3ITB. And you can also follow my bands, GNP, that's at GNPHertz.com, and Pinrot at Pinrot.com. Kenny.
And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. You know, audio stuff and hockey, random stupid things.
All right. Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace out.
Hello!